This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday as we say goodbye to the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan. Now, before we get to other things, I just want to play one more thing on the Dark Money Network before we get to this AI stuff and everything else we're going to do this hour, Democrats hated by young men and other things. Democrats know this network helps them. Some of them, like Jasmine Crockett, are so stupid, they'll stand up in front of a microphone and flat out say, I know it's going to start coming in.
We also know that there are donors that I'm sure are going to be willing to make sure that they are investing and making sure that they can take down some of these candidates. Since they don't want to rule out dark money, I'm sure some dark money going to pour in on the behalf of the American people. So what I am saying is every tactic, as well as making sure we're touching people.
Well, plus, she's going to touch people, which is important. That is important. That's known as the Kamala strategy. Now, let's move off of that and talk about AI. I do not like to talk about this a lot because I'm stupid and I don't understand technology. And I've decided, I've already told you this before, that I'm kind of done. Meaning, I think everybody gets to a point in their life where they've accepted all the new technology they're going to accept, and then they're just done with it. They're done with it. My father, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, is this was 5 years ago, maybe. I pick up his phone, and I forget the number, so I don't want to act like I had the exact number, but he had something like 300 unread text messages on his phone. And I don't mean 300 text messages he didn't respond to. He didn't even open them. You could be texting him that someone's dying. My father just decided, I'm not doing that. I'm not participating. So you can text him all day long. He's just not going to participate. I'm basically there. I will text message, but what I have now, I'm done with. All these media people are always wanting me to do more stuff. Hey, you should do a sign up for a Snapchat and David. Nope, I'm done. I've got a few things. That's all I'm going to do. I'm done. But I also understand that AI, artificial intelligence, is not something that I'm going to be able to avoid completely, or you're going to be able to avoid completely, because nations, entire nations, the most powerful nations in the world are interested in this. They want to grow it. They want to implement it every single place they can find it. On top of the countries themselves, private corporations are way into this. Yes, they are going to automate out jobs, which completely sucks, but they're going to automate out jobs. They are going to figure out how they can use this to their advantage. And we will be able to use it to our advantage somewhat, too. In fact, I'm going to answer an Ask Dr. Jesse question real quick. Jesse, how is DNI Director Tulsi Gabbard able to find out so much dirt, whereas Donald Trump's first-term DNI Director Dan Coats and John Ratcliffe never found anything? Do you know how Tulsi Gabbard was able to find all those incriminating documents they turned into the DOJ? Do you know? AI. Did you know that? They deployed, and not, Jewish producer Chris and Corey would be able to tell you better than I could. They apparently just deployed artificial intelligence to comb through all the documents. The communists thought they were long dead and buried, but AI was able to comb through it, find it, dig it up, and now we might have criminal charges. So we're going to use it too. But we have to understand something, and this is what I struggle with because it feels so out of my control and so out of your control, that it's not just the good guys fighting for this power. The most evil people on the planet are fighting for this power as well. Do you remember, and maybe this passed you by, and if it did, it's fine. It was not a major story. I don't expect you to care about it, but it was a couple years back. Google, or one of the major AI places, put out some new artificial intelligence. Hey, everyone can use this now. It's our artificial intelligence that we came up with. Only people started to notice something right away. It was all communist. You could even look up Vikings. Hey, AI, show me pictures of old Vikings. And like half of them were black. They were gay ones. It was just big. It looked like a big bunch of fruitcakes you'd find on Broadway. And people looked around and said, well, how does that happen? Well, how it happens is when you grab a bunch of communists to create the AI, what does a communist do with power? What does he do? He uses it. You ask a communist to create AI, he's going to make a communist. Remember this little tidbit? We played this for you before. Mark Andreessen, who I don't know, but why did he end up voting for Donald Trump? Because he had a meeting with Joe Biden's government, and they flat out terrified him.
The meetings were absolutely horrifying, and we came out basically deciding we had to endorse Trump.
What did you hear in those meetings?
AI is a technology basically that the government is going to completely control. This is not going to be a startup thing. They actually said flat out to us, don't do AI startups. Like, don't fund AI startups. It's not something that we're going to allow to happen. They're not going to be allowed to exist. There's no point. They basically said AI is going to be a game of two or three big companies working closely with the government, and we're going to basically wrap them in a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to basically wrap them in a government cocoon. We're going to protect them from competition. We're going to control them, and we're going to dictate what they do. And then I said, I don't understand how you're going to lock this down so much, because like the math for, you know, AI is like out there and it's being taught everywhere. And, you know, they literally said, well, you know, during the Cold War, we classified entire areas of physics and took them out of the research community, and like entire branches of physics basically went dark and didn't proceed. And that if we decide we need to, we're going to do the same thing to the math underneath AI.
And, wow.
And I said, I've just learned two very important things, because I wasn't aware of the former, and I wasn't aware that you were, you know, even conceiving of doing it to the latter.
The communists don't allow powerful choke points of power to just fall into the hands of people who may open it up. Remember, he requires control. That's why Joe Biden's evil communist government, they went to the gigantic evil communist companies like Google and others, and they said, we're on the same team. You believe in mass death and control the same way we believe in mass death and control. We're going to protect you. We're going to protect your AI. Nobody's going to be able to compete with you. And then once we seize total control of it, then we will be able to censor what people see. We'll be able to censor what AI gives to people. We'll be able to filter everything on it through the dirty jockstrap of communism and make sure that is the only thing people get. That's what the Biden administration attempted to do. I don't know that we'll ever fully realize the bullet we dodged by Trump winning that election. Maybe you're thrilled with him. Maybe you're unhappy with him. But we dodged a major bullet. This was Trump from Today. This is good.
America is the country that started the AI race. And as president of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. The reason the last administration was so eager to regulate and restrict AI was so they could limit this technology to just a few large companies, allowing them to centralize it, censor it, control it, weaponize it. This is the exact opposite of my approach. The American people do not want woke Marxist lunacy in the AI models, and neither do other countries. From now on, the U.S. government will deal only with AI that pursues truth, fairness and strict impartiality. We're not going to go through the craziness that we've gone through for the last 4 years.
Combine that with this little tidbit from J.D. Vance, where he was calling out big tech. What kind of people were writing this communist AI stuff? Well, the kind of people who can 9,000 U.S. workers and then go to the government asking to hire some Indians.
You see some big tech companies where they'll lay off 9,000 workers and then they'll apply for a bunch of overseas visas. And I sort of wonder, that doesn't totally make sense to me.
The math doesn't.
That displacement and that math worries me a bit. And what the president has said, he said very clearly, we want the very best and the brightest to make America their home. We want them to build great companies and so forth. But I don't want companies to fire 9,000 American workers and then to go and say, we can't find workers here in America.
Mm-hmm. These companies that are doing this stuff are not our friends. Just something to keep on your radar. All right, let's do some emails, shall we? Before we do some emails, I want you to save somebody's life. You ever saved a life in about a minute? You can do it right now. Because right now, as you listen to the sound of my voice, there's a young woman who's made the decision to have an abortion. She's probably already looking online for how to get the abortion pill or how to find a clinic. And that young baby, that baby in her womb is going to die unless we give her an ultrasound. Because she's already convinced herself that it's just a clump of cells, it's no big deal, it's a burden. We have to introduce that mother to her baby. We don't have to scream at her, arrest her. We have to introduce her to her baby through ultrasound. And that's what preborn does. They will find that young mother and they will offer her that free ultrasound. If she chooses life, and almost all of them do, preborn stays there and says, what else do you need? Do you need help? You need diapers. You need a place to stay. Snatching babies from the jaws of death. That's what preborn does with your help. And it's tax deductible. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. But don't forget, tomorrow's even better because it's Friday, baby. It's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You need to get to all your questions emailed in right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All 3 hours, you, me, we rock and roll. We'll get back to the stories here in a few. I'm going to do some emails. Jesse, you were talking about race relations now in America. Have you heard of black fatigue? Google says it's the fatigue black people experience from experiencing racism. But the other definition is the fatigue people feel from black people acting stereotypically ghetto. I understand this one problem, or this one probably won't make it on the radio, but we all know what I'm talking about. Been listening for a few years now. I love the show. Yes, I've heard of the term. And I'm going to say a couple things. Some may offend you. I don't care. No matter what color you are, you might be offended by what I'm about to say. But remember, I don't care. You're welcome to email me that too. It won't mean anything to me at all. I'm offended. I'm never listening again. I'm calling your boss. I don't care. First, I understand this. Urban black culture. I'm talking about the rap ghetto black culture is garbage. It's awful. In every way, it's awful. It has dragged the urban black community down into a sewer of crime and drugs and violence and imprisonment and resentment. It's putrid, putrid. So, and again, I don't care if that offends you. However, maybe it's just because I've bounced around a lot in life, Marine Corps, various places. That's not all black people. Do I know black people who are wretched ghetto trash? Of course. I know black people who are wonderful. My next door neighbor's black. We hang out. We talk. And He's just a normal dude, like I'm a normal dude. But what happens is, especially in the social media era, it's very easy to throw up a video on Twitter, or it's not hard to find a video because there is a lot of trash in the urban centers of a bunch of black people in Philadelphia beating each other up and twerking on cop cars. And you point and you say, man, black people are garbage. Black people are stupid. Black people are dumb. I've got black fatigue. That's not all of them. That's not all of them. I'm sorry, it's not. And again, this is not me defending urban black culture, which I said is garbage. It's just not all of them. I know a lot of good ones. About to have another one on next week, week after. Ed Lattimore, I love him. He's a heavyweight boxer. I've had him on before a long time ago, but I love him. I'm sorry, I just don't look at the world in that way. I understand what you're saying, but I want you to understand this. No matter your color, no matter what your color is, communists divide intentionally. It is not accidental. This revving up of racism, essentially, of the races being against each other. There will always be some of that. I want to stress that. But this revving up of the races are against each other, it was done intentionally because, as I said yesterday, race communism is always the easiest one to sell to the masses. You and everyone with your skin color, you've been wronged. You've been oppressed. And you know who did it? Everyone who has that skin color. And you elect me? I'll hurt them for you. I'll take the things they have and I'll give them to you. That is an easy sales pitch. And if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily like your life, if you don't like your lot in life, whatever that is, that's a very appealing message. You know what? Yeah. You know, I'm not at fault for all this stuff. It's not on me. Certainly not my fault. You know what? I've been oppressed, and I've been oppressed for my skin color, and it was whitey that did it. You know what? You're right, Obama. I'm with you. It's an easy way to get support when you're an evil communist politician. Ever since that came to be, we read the chart last night. Race relations were 60, 70% in the country. Back, this is early 2000s. Now they're in the 30s. Now everyone thinks the other side hates everybody. That was done on purpose to us as a society. It was done intentionally. He massively ramped up black racism against white people by selling that message. And remember, racism always, always, always begets more racism. Race activism begets more race activism. The more you do that, yeah, screw white people, whitey this and whitey that, that's going to create more racism on the white side, which will then, of course, create more racism on the black side, which again, will create, it becomes this horrible race communist snowball where now everybody thinks someone with a different skin color is the enemy. The black fatigue thing you're talking about? Look, it's a real thing, but this was all manufactured. I brought up the 80s or at the beginning of the show, and as I mentioned, there's no such thing as racial harmony. It can't exist. There's always going to be racial strife. That's just human nature. But 80s, 90s, this just was not a thing in the country. It wasn't something people dwelled on. We never thought about it at all. It was created intentionally by the communists to sell division so they could get power. And they sold it well. Now, let's talk about young men hating Democrats. That's fun. Let me tell you about pain first. Pain you think you have to live with. That's the lie people believe. When that elbow starts to bother you, when your hands start bugging you, just start rubbing them, doing that thing where you rub your hands. People just say to themselves, it sucks getting old. People say that all the time. It sucks getting old. You just accept it. Well, age. Of course, I'm old enough now. Of course, my back's got to hurt. That's a lie. Try Relief Factor and you'll find out what a lie that is. 100% drug-free. It doesn't mask your pain for a short time. It helps your body eliminate it. It goes to the root of it and helps your body get rid of it. That thing you don't do anymore because it hurts, you can start again. Take Relief Factor every day for 3 weeks and then email me and tell me how your pain is. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. 1-800-4-RELIEF. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, The Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So we've had a discussion similar to this before, but young men hate Democrats now. And the younger the generation of men, the more they hate Democrats now. There was a new one came out today, courtesy of Pew Research, showing Gen Z men, Republicans, 52%. Democrats, 34%. The young men of the United States of America hate Democrats. And I've explained before the different reasons, but really the main driving force in this, and you communists who hate listen, and a bunch of you touchy-feely types are going to hate this, but I'm going to explain something to you about men. Men, all men, despise nagging, controlling women. It is built into every man. There are some men who end up succumbing to it, marrying one, dating one. I get that. Maybe that's you right now. But no man loves it. I want someone to lecture me all the time. I want a woman who will nag me to death. No man has ever had that thought, ever. Now, combine that with this. Nagging, scolding, lecturing women are now the beating heart of the Democrat Party. This is a conversation we've had so many times before when they get up and they give a speech and you're thinking, my goodness, who are they even trying to appeal to with that speech? They'll trash the country and trash men and trash white people and trash. And you're thinking about what? I don't understand. You know the demographic they're speaking to at all times? The bitter, nasty, nagging women of America. Because the bitter, nasty, nagging women of America have taken over the Democrat Party. They control it now from top to bottom. They control its messaging from top to bottom. And so Democrats are flailing right now because they understand you cannot lose this percentage of young men and remain at all viable as a party. They're panicking. So the things they're trying to do to win them back are all lame because they can't attack the root of the problem. They try to get men back and they bring out Tim Walz. Hey, look at my shotgun. Oh, I don't know how to load the shells in. Remember, we found out they were talking about coming up with millions of dollars trying to find a left-wing Joe Rogan is how they said it. We want a podcaster that appeals to dudes, only he's a left-winger. These are all taking ibuprofen for a massive brain tumor. You're attempting to treat a symptom, the headache, because you can't get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is men are born to despise nagging women, and nagging women are the Democrat Party now. Honestly, I want you to listen to this. This isn't nagging, but this is a great example. This is Alyssa Slotkin. She's a United States Senator from Michigan. The Democrats want to win back men. Here she is.
Hinging that it's all bad, but by charting a strategy from beginning to end on how we get through this moment. And we will. For God's sakes, people, the Detroit Lions are going to win the national championship and the Super Bowl, and they were in the toilet for years.
The national championship and the Super Bowl? The Super Bowl is the championship in the NFL. There's no national championship. That would be college football. But these people, they've become the voice of the Democrat Party, and young men hate it. They despise it. They're leaving in droves. And look, maybe you're wondering why the poll was 52% to 34%. As I don't know, I went to community college, but I don't think that adds up to 100. Well, a lot of young men just are rejecting politics outright. Totally get that. I'm not saying they're all going Republican, not at all. But there is now, it's ingrained in them that Democrats hate them. They can feel it. And whenever they turn on the television, they're getting scolded by a new one, lectured, talked down to. That's toxic. I mean, look, you think you're going to win back young men with this?
That education is a national goal and a national priority. And instead of dismantling education, this has nothing to do with whether local school boards or school districts.
Just listen to her voice. If you're a guy driving right now, do the best you can not to drive off the road intentionally.
Districts should run education. We believe they should. But it says this is a national priority. Our students are a national priority. Education and public education and higher education is a national priority. If we want
to... Ooh, gives me the willies. Hey, Jesse. Sorry, but you are beyond wrong about it being healthy to go into the city. You guys should follow the New York Metro local news for 1 week. Measles, mumps, hoof and mouth, filth everywhere, everything covered with graffiti, street animals, drugged out addicts, car accidents every minute of the day. In Boston? Let us know about the filth, graffiti, drug addicts, and illegals. Okay? He's talking about what I said last night about how people in cities who live, work, and worship and stay in cities, it's very healthy to get out and get to the countryside every now and then. And vice versa. If you live and stay in rural America, when you have a chance to pop in the city for a night, I don't know, have a good meal, go to a concert, you should do it. And he mentioned how filthy and horrible it is. I didn't say move into the city. And did I say when you get to New York, get down to the subway? I wouldn't recommend that at all. They're burning people alive down there. I didn't say you have to get to New York City and promptly go set up shop in Harvard at 2 a.m. and walk around with your valuables hanging out of your pocket. You be smart when you get there. But, all right, I'm going to say something that's going to sound totally hokey. Maybe the Hulkster. Look, maybe it's the Hulkster has me in a patriotic mood.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Maybe the Hulkster has me in a mood, but I'm going to say something and it's going to sound so cheesy. And if you want to make fun of me, you can. I get it. I love all of America. I have been all over it. And I have parts that I love more than other parts, but I love it all. I was just, I told you I was in Montana. We were out on a 5-mile hike up into a mountain lake, not another soul around. And man, I was just looking around, took some time, said a prayer up there, and I loved it. Loved it. Alone in nature. It's wonderful. I can't help it when I fly into Los Angeles. I smile. I look out and I see America there too. I told you I'm going to Boston soon. That's America too. When I'm on a lake in Arkansas, that's America too. I love it all. And I wish there weren't parts of it the communists hadn't ruined. And I'm not saying I'm going to live in all of it, because I don't. I moved to Texas on purpose. I love the people. I love the food. The weather sucks. But other than that, I love Texas. I like the whole place. Right? Maybe it's just the chalk that has me feeling good. Maybe that's it. You know, chalk affects your mood, right? I'm talking about your testosterone levels dropping. That's why you're down a lot and you can't explain why. Are you randomly just kind of down? Do you get more emotional than you used to? Your T levels are low because there's estrogen in the water and the plastics, and we shower in it. Why don't you let chalk turn that around for you naturally? More than just energy. It's not just about making babies. Maybe you're past that stage. Maybe you're not. It's about how you feel. Your outlook on life. Everything gets better when you start some natural herbal supplements from chalk. If you don't believe me, start with chocolate powder. I'm not even telling you to get a stack tonight. Get chocolate powder. Get a month of it. Get a subscription to it. Do it for 2 months. Start out your day with that. Call them. Text them. The Dimes are waiting by the phone to hear from you. 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Thursday. Remember, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And I've got to be honest with you. It's just you and me talking. Sorry, I'm reliving my childhood. This isn't going to be the last time you hear this tonight. I can't.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
Chris, I cannot put into words to you how amazing professional wrestling used to be. Were you ever into professional wrestling? Never at all? Do you people not watch that? Is that not kosher? Oh, your family didn't watch it? Well, I was asking. I didn't know if it wasn't kosher. I was asking what the deal. I didn't know all the rules. Okay, that's one. But back in the 80s, because being patriotic was cool back then, as I explained in the opening of the show, not only would they have characters like Trump be the most over-the-top patriot in the world, they would also create these foreign country guys who apparently they were the all that was evil, right? The Iron Sheik. And of course, he was this Arab good guy, and he was always the... Oh, of course, you've seen the Iron Sheik. He's still out there now. He's a total psychopath. I love him. But the Iron Sheik, and of course, there was a bad Russian, and it was always good versus evil. I'm so disappointed that you never got to experience it. I know professional wrestling's still around. I obviously don't watch anymore, but gosh, when I was a kid, it was sweet. Hey, Jesse, how does our republic survive if Barry Obama isn't arrested and publicly hanged? How can us everyday sovereign people move forward or allow ourselves to be arrested without fighting back when it seems there's a 2- or 3-tier justice question? I've asked these questions before, but now the truth has come to light. How do we move forward if these people are not held accountable? For one, how do we move forward? Well, I've been pretty clear about the fact that I think that this moment right now we're in, I think it is an inflection point in this country. What happens now that we have not just suspicions, now that we have concrete, black and white, on paper proof that these people use the forces of government for political reasons against their political opponents? Sending the Central Intelligence Agency after your political opponent is what a step. So now we see who burns for this. And I don't want to sell you false hope. You're right. Obama should go to prison the rest of his life for what he did. That's not going to happen. He probably won't get a glove laid on him for presidential immunity. It's what he deserves. But it doesn't have to be Obama. Remember, you never get full justice on this earth. That moment will come at a later date. Never on this earth. What we need from this is not everyone involved to go down. What we need as a country is one big fish. We need one scalp. Oh, I know I want them all too. I want them all just like you. Don't email me. I know. I want all the scalps. I want everyone involved, everyone to prison. But it's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. We're going to live in the real, real world. I'm gonna treat it just like the same way my dad did when I told him I wanted to be an astronaut, and he said, "Son, you're gonna be like 6'8". Find a new dream." Okay, that's how we're gonna treat this. Barack Obama's not going to prison. We don't have to have Barack Obama going to prison. John Brennan will be good enough. James Comey will be good enough. James Clapper, he was DNI, remember. He's already lawyered up. He at least thinks there's a chance.
Do you have concerns that they will attempt to prosecute you?
Well, certainly I do. After 8.5 years of this, and I don't know of an intelligence product that was more scrutinized, more investigated than that product was by numerous people. It's very disconcerting. It really is. And I take seriously when the President of the United States accuses me of being a participant in a treasonous conspiracy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, what's your reaction to that?
It's ridiculous. It is untrue.
So what will you do if they come after you? What is your plan?
Well, I'll lawyer up, I suppose. Already have.
He's already lawyered up. We're not going to get them all. We need one big fish, one scalp. And we need that scalp because, as I've said before, the next communist who gets in there and decides he wants to use the CIA as the DNC, he wants to use the FBI as the DNC, his morality won't hold him back. Communists don't have morality. They don't think in those terms. The only thing that will stop the next communist from doing what Barack Obama did is fear. Fear and pain. He has to look at what happens right now and be afraid of that happening to him. So let's say we get communist Gavin Newsom in there, and let's say he tells his CIA director to go attack J.D. Vance, the Republican nominee for president. The CIA director may very well be a communist too, probably is, but we have to have a CIA director in that moment who says, "Ooh, man, I really don't want to go to prison, Mr. President. I'm sorry, I can't send the Central Intelligence Agency after a Republican. I can't use it that way because John Brennan's still in prison and I don't want to go to prison." The next communist, whoever that is, whenever that is, they have to look back at what happens right now and be afraid. Be afraid to do evil things. If this ends the way it always seems to end, with all the powerful people getting off scot-free, a slap on the wrist, I think we have fast-forwarded our end. I don't know how much, but I believe it will have accelerated our demise. We still have an hour left. Hang on.
Why should you listen to our
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.